Have you ever noticed that in all these gospel accounts, Jesus always gets the last word? Well, just don't get me wrong. I think usually that's a good thing. But just once, I would like to hear Martha get the last word. I want to hear her response to what Jesus says to her. I want to hear it because I very much side with Martha. I feel for her because I've been there so many times and I keep finding myself there where it seems that all my efforts and all I do, all the work I do, seems to go unappreciated and unsupported and unaided. And I know her frustration. I know how bitter and angry she must have gotten. She's doing all that work, and Jesus doesn't seem to appreciate it. Doesn't seem to, and then she finally gives up and gets the nerve to say something to Jesus, already upset that he didn't notice on his own. She finally speaks up and says something, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that I'm doing all this? And here my sister is doing nothing. Do you not care? Would you please tell her to help me? And Jesus seemingly dismisses her. And I'm sure the frustration only grew. And I say, I'd like to hear Martha's response, but actually, to be honest, I imagine it every time. I imagine, well, do you remember the cartoon character Muttley? Anybody? Muttley, like his name would denote, he's a dog, he's a mutt, and you know, it's a fitting name because he mutters, he's a mutterer, and he gets upset a lot, and what he does is he mutters under his breath, and it sounds like fake cursing. It may be real cursing, I don't know, but it sounds like fake cursing and grumbling, and it goes something like this, rassus, rassus, rassus. And that's what I imagine Martha's response to Jesus was, that she didn't have the nerve to say anything to him directly, but as she was walking out of that room, she was rumbling, Rasher, 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 Rasher. And I can admit, I've been hearing that a lot from myself lately, especially these past few weeks as I've been moving out of the rectory here and into the rectory of St. Susanna's and trying to tie up things here, trying to get things started at St. Susanna's. And there's just a lot of, there are big things and there are little things, a lot of messes that I inherited over there that I had nothing to do with, and yet I'm called to clean them up, and a lot of frustration and a lot of just distractions. And I find myself getting upset and more often grumbling, rushes, 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 rushes. And as much as I experience that personally, I know for Martha it had to even be worse. Because you see, Martha had a good argument. You see, Martha, from very early on when she was a small child, she had been taught the great virtue of hospitality. You see that first reading from Genesis? Martha knew that better than anybody, as any Jewish girl would. It was held up, the great virtue of hospitality. They were told time and again how Sarah and Abraham welcomed these three strangers in the desert. And they welcomed them into their home. And they fed them. And they made them feel at home. And in doing so, they actually entertained God himself. And the great reward was that Sarah and Abraham would have their first and only child. One, a great miracle because they never expected it because they were in their 90s already. And because they had that child that they became the parents of the great nation of Israel. It was all because of that act of hospitality. That was the thing that they aspired towards. That was a great value. And so they were taught from very early on throughout their lives, be hospitable. Welcome the stranger. And now here she is welcoming her Lord. And she's doing everything she can to make him feel at home. And now it seems to go unappreciated. And so you can understand why she'd be so upset. But hopefully, in her anger and frustration, hopefully she actually heard what Jesus said to her. Because what Jesus said, he did not dismiss her. He did not dismiss all the good she was doing. What he says is actually the opposite. He says very clearly, he said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and anxious about many things, but there is only one thing. That one thing is hospitality." The problem is that she missed part of it. She missed it in that the first and foremost part of hospitality, of making people feel welcome, of meeting their needs and their wants, is to know what they need and what they want, is to be open and to listen to them and to greet them where they're at. And she'd have missed that. If she'd been a little more sensitive, a little more aware, she might have realized that this visit that Christ was making to her this time was different than the other times. He'd come several times before and he'd felt welcome several times before. But this time was different because this time he was on his way to Jerusalem. And in less than a week, he would offer up his life on the cross. And that was what was weighing heavily on his mind, his heart, and his soul. He was concerned that all of this might have been for naught. That he needed to know that people heard him, that people shared in his message, and were ready to continue to preach it and to share it. He needed to know that people were listening. And so, more than a warm meal and a soft bed, that's what he needed most. And that's what Mary gave him in that moment when she sat at his feet and listened. And that's what we're called to. So often, we overlook that part in our relationships with other people. We try to serve them before we even find out what it is they need. But even more often, we do it with God himself. We get so caught up in doing what we think is right that often we fail to pause and ask, "Lord, is this what you want of me? Is this what you desire?" And if it is, then we can take assurance. As hard as it may be, and as menial and as much of a struggle as it may be, at least we know we're doing what God wants. And if not, we need to be refocused and truly redirect ourselves to doing what God wants of us. I think about that, and I'm reminded of a wonderful lesson that was taught to myself and the priest of the archdiocese. It was several years ago that we took a retreat, a day of prayer during Lent, and we had a guest speaker who was a priest from Nebraska, and he told a wonderful story. You see, he had been very active. He had very active ministry since he had been ordained and been very successful, done some very wonderful things. But later on in his ministry, while he was still quite young, in his late 40s, he was diagnosed with MS. And with that, he lost a lot of control over what he could do. He was very much disabled. And he was frustrated. And he found himself taking that frustration to prayer, as he should. And in that prayer, he did a lot of muttly grumbling. And he found himself telling Christ that his frustration was that he wasn't able to do the ministry that he knew he was called to. He was frustrated because he wasn't able to do the things that he knew he should. And in that moment, he heard Christ speaking to him, saying, "What you're saying is that you love doing my works more than you love me." And with that, he had a moment of grace. And he realized that this MS was not so much a curse as a blessing, as it was an invitation. An invitation to slow down and to quiet himself. and to spend more time in prayer and reflection and realize what Christ was saying to him and be reminded and hear just how much Christ loved him. And so my prayer for myself and for any other Marthas out there is that we might never skip over the better part. That we might always, in all we're trying to do, first stop and listen. Listen to hear Christ tell us what he wants and what he needs, and most of all, that he loves us. And pray that we have the grace to allow Christ to have the final word. Let us profess our faith. I believe one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen. And let us turn to our Heavenly Father in our need.
For the Holy Father, the bishops, presbyters, deacons, and all the baptized who proclaim the good news, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For political leaders and government workers who guard the dignity of human life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For families in economic crisis, for the financial and spiritual support they need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For working people, for sufficient time for recreation and renewal, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the members of our local church who help make it a place of welcome and renewal for the poor, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the men and women in the service of our country, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayer chain intentions of St. Joseph and St. Susanna, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are sick and hurting, and for all who have gone before us in Christ. And at this Mass, we remember especially Kevin and Patty Arthur celebrating their 46th wedding anniversary. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty and loving God, we trust that you hear our prayers. We ask that you grant what you find good in them. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For the preparation of the gifts, let us turn to number 462, I Heard the Voice of Jesus, number 462. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head on.
before you, Lord God of all creation. With your goodness, we have seen the wine and the offering.
Thank you. Fruit of the vine and work of human hands will become our spiritual drink. Lord, watch when the queen cleanses me of my sins. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands, for the
praise
and glory of his name, for our good
and the one perfect sacrifice brought to completion varied offerings of the law. Accept, we pray, this sacrifice from your faithful servants, and make it holy as you bless the gifts of Abel, so that what each has offered to the honor of your majesty may benefit the salvation of all. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, for in you we live and move and have our being. And while in this body we not only experience the daily effects of your care, but even now possess the pledge of life eternal. For having received the first fruits of the Spirit, through whom you raised up Jesus from the dead, we hope for an everlasting share in the Paschal mystery. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and unwillingly into his passion, he took bread and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Once more, giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." A mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation. Giving thanks, you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity. Together with Francis, our Pope, Charles, our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, and by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins by the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us share with one another some sign of Christ's peace. Peace. Peace.